the love of God. God is love, and therefore only is his personal attitude towards the affairs of the universe always a reaction of divine affection. Our Father's love is by nature a fatherly affection, therefore does God sometimes chasten us for our own profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Even during our fiery trials we must remember that in all our afflictions, he is afflicted with us. God's love is universal, whosoever will may come. He would have all of us be saved by coming into the knowledge of the truth. He is not willing that any of us should perish. Our Father loves us sufficiently to bestow his life upon all of us. He makes the sun to rise on the evil as well as the good, and sends rain on the just, and on the unjust. God is divinely kind to sinners. When we rebel against God, but later return to his righteousness, we are, immediately, mercifully received, for our God will abundantly pardon. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Behold what manner of love our Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. It is wrong for us to think of God as being coaxed into loving us, his children, because of sacrifices or the intercession of any of his subordinate creatures, for our Father himself loves you. It is thus in response to this paternal affection that God sends his marvelous fragmentized spirits to indwell our lowly material human minds. The greatest evidence of the goodness of God, and the supreme reason for you loving him, is his gift of the indwelling spirit being thought a jester, that fragmentized spirit that, right now, indwells your human mind, and who so patiently awaits the hour when you both shall be eternally fused to be one. Though we cannot physically find God by now searching for him, if you will submit to those small still voice inward spiritual leading commands, by your indwelling spirit to your human mind, you will be unerringly guided, step by step, life by life, through universe upon universe, and age by age, until you finally stand in the paradise personality presence of God himself. How unreasonable that any of us should not worship God because the limitations of our human nature and the handicaps of our material anatomy make it impossible for us to see him. There exists a tremendous distance, physical space, between God and us to be traversed. There likewise exists a great gulf of spiritual differential which we must also bridge, but notwithstanding all that physically and spiritually separates us from the paradise personal presence of God. When we stop and ponder the solemn fact that God lives within us, that he has sent of himself a fragment of his spirit to live in us and to toil with us as we pursue our individual, eternal universe career, we can then understand that he has in his own loving way already bridged that gulf. Notwithstanding the infinite unity of God's divine nature, love is the dominate characteristic of all his personal dealings with us, and all his other limitless galaxy of creatures throughout the totality of all his creation. Therefore it behooves us in our finite and imperfect state to give back to God who is perfect, the most supreme of our love, by manifesting the expression of his love in our personal dealings of various human relationships with our fellow human beings. I naturally can love the one who is so powerful in creation, and in the control thereof, and yet who is so perfect in goodness and so faithful in the loving kindness which constantly overshadows me. I find it easy and pleasant to worship one who is so great and at the same time so affectionately devoted to the uplifting ministry of our lowly creature selves. I even think I would love our Father just as much if he were not so great and powerful, as long as he continues to be so good and merciful. The experience of loving is very much a direct response to the experience of being loved. Knowing that God loves me, I shall always continue to supremely love him. We all should love God more because of his nature than in recognition of his amazing attributes. Our Father's love follows us now and throughout the endless circuit of our eternal ages. As we all ponder the loving nature of God, there is only one reasonable and natural personality reaction thereto: you will increasingly love your Maker, you will lovingly yield an affection to him analogous to that given by a child to an earthly parent, for as a father, a real father, loves his own children, so too, and even far more than any of us could ever perceive, does God love and forever seek the welfare of us, his created sons and daughters. The love of our Father is an intelligent and far-seeing parental affection. His divine love functions in unified association with his divine wisdom, and all the other infinite characteristics of His perfect nature. And the greatest manifestation of His divine love is observed in His bestowal of His fragmentized spirit, the indwelling thought adjuster, and it is your indwelling adjuster who individualizes the love of God to your human soul. God is love, but love is not God. It is a shame that one is compelled to portray the divine affection of our Heavenly Father by the employment of the human word symbol love. This term, even though it connotes the highest concept of our mortal relations of respect and devotion, the matchless affection of our loving Father to be known by that word which is also used so frequently to indicate the designative of so much of our human relationships that are wholly ignoble and utterly unfit, is unfortunate indeed. How unfortunate some supernal and exclusive term could not be used to truly convey to our minds the true nature and exquisitely beautiful significance of the real loving divine affection of our universal Father. When we lose sight of the love of a personal God, the kingdom of God merely becomes the kingdom of good.